Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what is breaking stereotypes and bridging differences? Daniela Levy is a writer and Hebrew-English translator. She was born in New York and immigrated to Israel with her family as a child. Her articles, short fiction, and poetry have been published by many popular and literary magazines, anthologies, and online platforms. In 2006, while in Barcelona, she met Josep, a secular Catholic who expressed an interest in Judaism, and she began to write a blog, Letters to Josep, describing the practices followed by religiously observant Jews such as herself. A collection of these letters has now been published as a book, Letters to Josep, An Introduction to Judaism. It's written as one would write to a friend in a warm, informal style, so while it describes religious Jewish practices in detail, it's easy and enjoyable to read. She's also involved in a new educational project called Moving Stones, whose aim is to provide educational resources on Jewish heritage and culture for non-Jewish learners in Spain.
Thank you very much for speaking with us today, Daniela. Could you first tell us a little bit about your own background, where you're from, your education? Were you raised to be strictly observant Orthodox, or did you come to it on your own?
Yeah, so I was born in New York, but the first home I remember was actually in Squirrel Hill, Pittsburgh, of recent infamy. And I was raised in a religious family, so I've been strictly observant since birth. And when I was 9 years old, my family made Aliyah. We came to Israel.
What do you do there professionally?
I'm a writer, translator. I'm a self-defense instructor. I do all kinds of things.
Well, we're talking mostly about your book. You met Josep in Barcelona. Can you tell us how you happened to go to Barcelona?
Yes. So the short version is I was invited to come there as a reporter for an international youth conference for the press team that was going to produce a newspaper daily during the conference. And he was on the press team also.
What kind of a conference?
It was related to the Model UN. I think it was a Young Alliance of Civilizations.
And it was a conference that was run by the UN?
It was organized by the Spanish Association, or the Association of the United Nations of Spain.
Uh-huh. When was this?
In 2006.
Can you tell us about the problems that you faced being an Orthodox Jew and what you did about them?
Right. So before the conference, when I was first invited to go, I told the editor, I said, look, this might be a little bit difficult because I observe the laws of kashrut, so all the very strict dietary laws. So I asked her if she would be able to find out if there would be kosher meals available or if I would need to bring something. And she told me that she looked into it and they told her that they would provide kosher food. I told her that I wasn't going to be able to do anything particularly useful on the last day of the conference, which was on Saturday on Shabbat, of course. And I also told her that I would need to be in a room with only women and not young men, because I knew that sometimes they, in the accommodations there in the youth hostel, they would have men and women together. And she said, no problem. All of that's going to be fine. And it was not fine. I think the definition of kashrut seemed to be different. The organizers of the conference seemed to think that vegetarian should be fine, and the room that I was staying in also had two young men in it along with a bunch of other young women. And of course, in terms of the accommodations, there wasn't much I could do. I couldn't sleep on the street. But in terms of kosher food, I also didn't really have many options. There was a kosher store. I did go there, but there wasn't really a lot available. I didn't have access to a fridge, and I was also supposed to be there over Shabbat, so I wasn't really sure how to handle it. And basically, I ended up eating only, you know, raw vegetables and like the crackers and stuff I brought with me. And Giuseppe, when he heard about this, he was really upset, and he started looking around trying to find if there's a kosher restaurant anywhere or somewhere to get me kosher food. And there wasn't really anything at the time. There was one restaurant that had kosher certification up until a few months before, Chalfon's, but I wasn't sure what the status was there, so I didn't really know what to do about that. And so in the middle of all this, when he failed to find something, he asked me, well, what if I bought some ingredients and we went to my house and cooked you some food? And I said, no, you know, the kitchen would also have to be kosher and everything. And he said, well, what would we have to do to make it kosher? Uh-huh. And I said, you don't want to know.
Me. Yeah.
It's really complicated. And he said, no, I want to know. So I launched into this long explanation of how one koshers a kitchen, which is ridiculous and complicated. And I'm always in the middle of babbling about this. You know, I was basically just trying to demonstrate to him that this was a terrible idea. But he was watching me very interested throughout the whole thing while everyone else had completely lost interest. So I understood that he was interested in learning about Judaism.
Let me ask you something, though. If you were there Friday night, did you go to services? Did you make any contacts with the Jewish community there or with Chabad?
Yes. So I on Friday night, I did go to the synagogue there, the Sib. And I was kind of desperate. I went with the thought that maybe someone would invite me for a meal. I had been to London the previous year, and as soon as we walked in the synagogue, people were sort of inviting us for lunch, even though we really didn't need. So I kind of hoped that something like that would happen, and it did not.
So people didn't talk to you at all?
They didn't even look at me. I remember sitting in the women's section actually crying because I was so upset about my situation and feeling so sorry for myself. And no one really paid attention to me.
And they didn't have Chabad in Barcelona yet?
They did. I don't remember. I know I contacted them beforehand, but I don't remember. Mm.
Because I know that the people from Chabad in Madrid are extremely friendly and open, and it'll invite you, and they're just really very, very welcoming. And so I was kind of surprised to learn that that didn't happen in Barcelona.
Yeah, Chabad tends to be more welcoming with stuff like that. So, yeah, I think I didn't know where they were situated.
Uh-huh. So. Well, and now I believe that there are three kosher restaurants in Barcelona.
Yeah, there are.
Okay.
I enjoyed two of them recently.
And I think at least one, maybe two of them, are run by Israelis.
Yes.
Anyway, so you kind of gave us a little introduction here to Giuseppe. Can you tell us a little bit about how the relationship developed and what made him interested in Judaism?
Right. So before we met, for years before we met, he had developed this sort of interest in Judaism, in Jewish history, partly because I think of his interest in the Holocaust and what happened during the Holocaust, and partly because of his own background, which he believes, you know, that he may have been descended from conversos. So he had this interest, and he also, when he was in college, he studied political science, and he was the only political science student who was pro-Israel. And he developed that opinion completely on his own. He says that no one else shared it with him, that he basically just sort of looked into it and came to his own conclusions.
So tell us about the blog, because the book is based on the blog. And right. What motivated you to begin to write the blog? And why did you publish some of the blogs in a book? And how did you choose which ones to include?
Okay, so when I got back to Israel from Barcelona that first time, Giuseppe and I started to correspond. And I started writing him these emails about Judaism. I just sort of found myself describing, you know, the Jewish holidays and Shabbat and all of our traditions. And it was really fun for me because I had never really had the opportunity to explain to someone who was interested and wanted to know, but didn't know. You know, I was raised in Jewish communities. I always was around other people who knew as much as I did. So it was very interesting to sort of step outside and look at it from the perspective of someone who doesn't know. And how can I explain this to somebody? And eventually I decided to start posting the emails on the blog instead of just sending them to him directly. And the blog got a lot of positive responses, and there were people who suggested that I should turn it into a book. And the way I selected what to put in the book, I wanted to make it sort of a guide. The subtitle is An Introduction to Judaism. So I wanted to just explain the basics of Orthodox Jewish life. I made it into three categories. The first one is just the basics called observant Jewish life. And the second one is the Jewish year, like all the holidays. We have a lot of holidays. So I remember actually I wrote this one email to him early on trying to explain about all the holidays. And it was so long, he did not understand any of it. And I decided to sort of split it into smaller sections to explain as the year went on. So that turned into a lot of blog posts. And then the last one is just sort of Jewish concepts. A lot of people wonder about things like the Jewish afterlife. A lot of people ask me, you know, what do Jews believe about the afterlife and the Messiah and concepts like that, that a lot of non-Jews don't really understand how we see it because Christians see it so differently.
Mm-hmm. Something that I did want to comment on is that the subtitle is An Introduction to Judaism, but I think it's a lot more profound than just an introduction. I mean, I think that you go into a lot of detail, but the interesting thing is that even though this sort of information is available in a lot of different places, you've written it in a very pleasant way. It's very easy to read and understand, I think, especially for people who might not be familiar with all the intricacies of strict Orthodox Judaism, which is what you're talking about. So, you know, I think that it's more than just an introduction to Judaism.
It is more than an introduction to Judaism. It's on another layer. It's sort of my thoughts about our life. I mean, Judaism is also more than just a religion. It's a way of life. It's a culture. And so it's all of these things and how I relate to it personally and my thoughts about it, which are sometimes complex and sometimes I have conflicts and I'm not sure about things or I don't know how I feel about things. And on another level, it's also this friendship, you know, the correspondence between me and Giuseppe.
You recently held this event, Breaking Stereotypes and Bridging Differences. This was held in Barcelona or Girona? I don't remember.
In Girona.
Can you tell us about that and what plans you have for developing it into a future project?
Right. So this was an amazing opportunity I had recently. I was contacted a few years ago by someone who stumbled across the blog, and she told me that she believes she is the first Jew to live in the old Jewish quarter of Girona in about 500 years. And she told me that she was working on developing this educational project in Girona and asked if I was interested in helping. And since then, we have been working on this project together and have since become friends. And when I had the opportunity to come to Barcelona, she decided that we would take advantage of this to arrange this event, which was basically, it was a discussion about the book and about friendship and what the power of friendship to bridge differences and break stereotypes, and with both me and Giuseppe. So we had the opportunity to sort of talk about it, both of us, you know, from me from my side and him from his side, about how our perspectives have changed as a result of knowing each other and, you know, sort of the influence that our friendship has had on our lives and how we've managed to kind of navigate some of the difficulties we've had in the friendship.
Who attended this event because it was held in English?
Right. It was in English. Actually, we were planning on it also being in Catalan, but the people who ended up showing up were proficient enough in English that we just conducted it only in English. So it was just locals, people that Leia knew, my friend in Girona. Also, I should talk more about our project, which it's called Moving Stones. And originally, it was the idea was to create a resource, an educational resource for learning about Jewish heritage and culture, because she was sort of involved with the organizations in Girona that are in charge of that, and she found that there was something kind of missing. There's something lacking in it, and she is developing this project to kind of fill that gap. To respond to a need in the community. And it sort of expanded also to eventually becoming sort of a global online platform for respectful discussion about issues that are important in the world and in the Jewish world specifically. So we have a lot of plans. I mean, it hasn't launched quite yet. The event was supposed to be kind of the beginning, and we're still working on getting the website up.
And this is also in English?
Yes. The materials will probably be in both English and Spanish.
Uh-huh. So the Project Moving Stones, you kind of gave us a very broad, general type idea. Can you be more specific or not yet?
Well, a little more specifically, one of the things we're offering as resources, we're going to be running courses and seminars, mostly online, like remotely through Zoom or other video conferencing software. We also plan to put together materials like packages for educators to use in classrooms or in other educational settings. And the platform itself will also, I don't know exactly how it's going to be run, but it will be like an online sort of forum that's sort of social media-like, but what will have a structure that will keep it from becoming the free-for-all that social media is.
And this, I read, is in Spain and abroad. And when you say abroad, do you mean other Spanish-speaking countries, or do you mean English-speaking countries?
At the moment, I mean, between me and Leia, you know, we speak English, Spanish, and she speaks Catalan as well. So we'll be working with the languages we know, also Hebrew I have. But Hebrew is less of a need for that. But I think it will depend on who we can recruit to run our classes and be involved in developing the materials.
Is there anything else you would like to add that we might have left out?
Well, you asked me in the email whether it was the first time I was returning to Barcelona, and it was. It was the first time in 12 years, and it was a completely different experience.
In what way?
I mean, the first time I was there, I wasn't really there as a tourist. You know, I was there to do this youth conference, and I kind of wandered around a little bit as much as I could. But, you know, I didn't really get to see much of the city or experience much of it. And obviously, I came away with a largely negative impression from it. And this time, I also didn't exactly feel like a tourist, but on the other side, I almost felt more at home because I have learned so much about Catalonia, and I feel like in a way I kind of belong. And it was just so nice. I felt a lot more welcome.
Well, I'm glad. I'm really glad that happened. And I'm sure that if you come to Madrid, you'll also feel very welcome here.
I would love to visit other parts of Spain. I really would.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Daniela.
Thank you so much.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.